Okay, I think we'll get started. If you would take that handout that you just got and open it to page 2, I want to take and review some of what we talked about, what was it, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago since we were together. I think the 17th of April was the last time. So I just want to review some of that, and then we'll actually turn and see if we can't do a little interpretation this morning and see how that works out. And we might even look at another biblical dream or two along the way as well. But one of the things going into this morning that I was reminded of was that you remember in the life of Joseph that he had that vision, had that dream that the Lord gave him about his brothers were going to bow down to him and all of that kind of thing. And then throughout his training years or his preparation years, he was called upon to interpret the dreams of others. And in the end, where he came down was is that he said that nobody can interpret dreams but God alone. And I believe that is still true today. And so I'm not here to interpret your dreams. I don't know that others here are going to be able to do that. But God is able to make known what he has revealed to you in your dreams. And so I just want to invite God to guide and direct us this morning, even in our discussion, in our asking of questions, and that we could learn just all that he would have us know about hearing his voice through dreams. So would you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather in your name, to gather around your word, to gather as the people of God. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We're remembering today in our Pentecost Sunday celebrations and remembrances. Lord, we recognize that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, is the author of Scripture. It has revealed a great many truths about you and about the world in which we live. And the same Holy Spirit has taken up residence within the lives of those who believe. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to orchestrate this time to bring truth and understanding to help us interpret Revelation in a way that'll be honoring to you and edifying for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look at the 7 foundational principles for interpreting dreams, maybe just to go back through those quickly as setting the foundation or the stage for our the workshop area of our time together. But the first thing we note is on the 7 foundational principles for interpreting dreams, that most dreams are symbolic. And we need to remember that the symbols in our dreams are representative of truth that God is trying to communicate to us. But most dreams are not literal, but symbolic. And so we need to be asking, as we begin the process, is that we're looking at this process symbolically. And the symbols will come from the dreamer's life. So ask, what does this symbol mean to me? There could be a person, a place, or an event that would be common to us as dreamers, yet we would assign different values or different meaning to that event or to that person or to that animal, whatever it is. And so we need to be taking our cues or our direction from what the symbols mean in the lives of those who are having the dreams. Also, the dream generally will be speaking to the concerns of our hearts that we are currently facing. And so we need to ask, what are the issues that I was processing on the day before I had the dream, or generally within life, that God will speak into our lives in a way that will address current concerns. And so we don't have to go searching for context. Generally, the context is right in front of us. The meaning of the dream must be drawn from the dreamer. In other words, none of us gathered here, if you happen to share your dream, would say, well, this is the meaning of the dream for you. In other words, that is going to come out of your own life, and that we realize that we know nothing about the dream, But through dependence upon the Holy Spirit and the skillful use of questions, we can draw the meaning of the dream out of the heart of the dreamer. And that's what we hope to do this morning. The dreamer's heart will leap and witness and say, aha, when it hears the right interpretation. So never accept an interpretation that does not bear witness in your heart. Dreams reveal but do not condemn. Their goal is to preserve life and not to destroy it. And then finally, never make a major decision in your life based only on a dream without receiving additional confirmation from the other ways that God speaks to us and guides us, such as peace in our hearts, counsel of others, scriptures, God's still small voice, prophecy, and so on. So anybody have any question or comment about kind of those seven basic guidelines? We want to start there. Want to make sure that that we're in kind of a common common starting place for this morning. Discerning dreams about yourself or dreaming dreams about others. The simplest method for interpreting a dream about yourself is to interpret the first symbol. In other words, don't try and do the whole dream at once, but take the first symbol, determine what the meaning or the value is for yourself in that, and then go on to the next symbol and so on. And that after you have done that, you pull it all together, and then I'm sure that the meaning will just kind of flow out of those individual interpretations and assigning of values. So your homework for the last 4 or 5 weeks is to be chronicling or journaling your dreams. Do I have any folks here that actually did that? Tanya, you got a couple, okay? What I'd like to do this morning is actually try and tackle maybe one or two of those and see if we can, as a group, come to a place of understanding about what happened in the dream. So we'll be doing that. If you would turn to page 11, it's going to provide the outline for how we're going to function this morning. There's midway down the page in the left-hand column, it says rules for interpreting dreams in a group. And it says dreams shared in class time are to be recent dreams so that the dreamer knows the setting, that is, the issues on his or her heart when they went to bed. Also, it is best in group dream work to be working with shorter dreams rather than longer ones for obvious reasons. Some of you dream full-length, epic kind of dreams, and we don't have time to try and tackle that. And then the second one is equally important. It says, in a group setting, never go further in interpreting a person's dream than the dreamer is willing to go. In other words, as we would go through this together, if you happen to be the one who had the dream at any point, you can say, well, I think that's enough for now or whatever. So know that that's something that will be respected. Okay, I had two hands over here. Was there anybody else that, Tom, you had a dream too? Okay, and you have one. Got some over here. I'm sorry? You forgot your journal, okay. Well, maybe you can bring yours next week and we can maybe tackle that. Tanya or Jen, either of yours relatively short? Yours is? Okay, all right. Tanya, where are you? Yours is short? Okay. Well, maybe we'll start with yours, and then Jen, if we, as we have time, we'll jump to you, and then we'll get to the others. We've got 4 different times we're going to give this a go and see how it works out. So Tanya, we'll just put your name up here. And I'm actually going to have you come forward and share your dream with everyone so that they can get a sense for what it is. And we'll actually ask you to do it twice. And that while the dream is being read, someone like myself is going to write on the blackboard key elements and events of the dream, leaving space. And then we're going to go back. But the thing that you need to be doing out here as you listen to the dream is thinking about questions that you might ask to kind of help Tanya draw out the meaning of the dream. And on the page 11, again, if you have your book with you, under C, on the right-hand column, it says to ask the dreamer, what was the key feeling in the dream? What was the key action in the dream? In what area of your life are you experiencing these? And then we begin to maybe refine the process as we go.
Well, actually, for a long time, I've been struggling with God's purpose for me and if the job that I'm in is where he really wants me to be. And I pray about this a lot, and I constantly feel like I get zero feedback from him. I feel like he's just never answering me. So a few weeks ago, I had a dream that I was at dinner with my mom, my daughter, and several other women. I don't remember who the other women were. But we were at a very busy restaurant. We had a waitress that came and took our order, and then she never came back. She never brought our food. We were waiting the whole time with no service whatsoever. And we kept asking people, why can't we get our food? And no one would answer us. So finally, after probably 2 or 3 hours, we left. And we all went our separate ways when we left the restaurant, and I found in my dream what I believed to be a Jewish man outside of the restaurant, and I recognized him as a restaurant owner. And I went to him and I said, why couldn't we get any service? And he just wouldn't answer me. He ignored me and acted like I wasn't even there. So I went to an auto repair shop, and for some reason I thought I'd get my answer there. So I went into the auto repair shop and I asked the girl at the front desk, what time do you close? Because my intention was to come back and speak to the owner after they were done with business for the day. And she said 6 o'clock. And the owner heard me talking and he came out and I asked him, why didn't the restaurant owner make sure that we got served? And he said, I think you know the answer to that. And I wasn't happy with that, so then I went off and I left. And I don't know where I was when I left there, but I was with a very large African-American woman, and she just kept hugging me and holding me and telling me, we're going to make this happen, we're going to make this happen. And I was very uncomfortable and, you know, trying to push her away and just felt very odd in the situation. And she was just trying to love me and trying to, you know, just be there and be supportive of me, and I was just trying to, you know, push her back and just be like, this is weird, sort of. And so that was that, the end of basically that dream. And then not too long after, in the same night, I just had a moment where I was in a completely dark space, no light, and I was alone. And all I heard was a voice saying, Tanya, find Craig Walker. Craig Walker. And so I went to work the next day because I work with a girl whose last name is Walker, and I was like, are you related to anybody named Craig? And she said no. And so I Googled Craig Walker, and every Craig Walker that came up was some kind of an artist. He was a writer, he was a photographer, he was a painter, all these different types of arts. So, that's that.
Okay. Don't go away. All right. I don't know if I got them all, but maybe you'll help me fill in the pieces. Are there, as you think about key characters or key events, or did I get most of them? We had that you were at dinner. The initial setting was that you were at dinner with your daughter and your mom. Your mom, did I have that right? Okay, and then several. Okay, but they were kind of incognito. We don't really know who they are. Okay. All right. And then the restaurant was very busy. you didn't receive any service, and after 2 to 3 hours, you left, still without getting anything to eat. Okay, you ran into the owner of the restaurant, and I forgot now what the dialogue was there. Was there, and he said nothing. Okay, so there was this brief conversation with the restaurant owner. Why? So you were asking why, but no answer. Okay? And then we come across the auto repair shop. Did you have a car or did you just...
No, I just rode out of the restaurant.
Okay.
I
want
to make sure we got
served. Okay, so the owner of the... So it's the owner of the auto repair shop as well. And then there was the... Okay, so we ask why, but get kind of a cryptic response. You already know. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? I think you know the answer to that. Okay. When you awoke from the dream, how were you feeling? What was your general sense of? Okay, so for frustration is kind of a key. And so, and that ties generally to what's been going on generally within your life. And so there's frustration over your desire to know God's purpose for your life, but you're still kind of seeking that and not finding. Okay. Other questions you'd want to ask, Tanya? Okay. Okay, so... So the auto repair encounter ended at a certain time, was that it? Is that what
it ended at a certain time.
All right, so we've got a 6 p.m. close. Okay. One of the things that we talked about, or what Verkler drew out in the teaching that we looked at previously, was that one of the keys is that we need to establish kind of what these key figures would mean to Tanya. And so any kind of a sense what maybe the restaurant owner and the auto repair shop owner and the woman might represent, okay? You follow where we're going with that? Okay. How about, is it the same? Does it represent the same thing, or do they represent different? Different, okay. The restaurant owner, what does he represent? God, okay? And that obviously fits with kind of the general sense of frustration. She's there in the restaurant waiting, and then several hours go by, and then she finally gets up and leaves, okay? And then how about the auto repair owner? Jesus, okay? And how about the African-American Holy Spirit, okay? I don't want you to say yet what you have discerned already. I want us to do this kind of as a group as we go through this. So all of you who are helping Tanya to discern what her dream means, what else do we need to know? What else do we need to help Tanya see or understand about her dream? Sir? So this encounter with the woman then was open-ended. That was open ended. Okay?
No, it was stress
related. Okay. Okay. She's been in her current job 2 years. Yes? Okay. Well, I don't want you to reveal anything that would reveal kind of your own interpretation. I don't want that yet. Because I want us to kind of just kind of work through this a little bit yet. So we've got kind of this general sense of frustration, and the frustration seems to be directed mostly at the Father. Let's ask that question a little bit different way. Do you feel like it's significant that it was only women at the dinner? Okay. The other thing I think about dreams is that I don't think that we should press the details too hard. In a lot of ways, I think a dream is almost like a parable. in that there's just enough structure to it and enough detail that it brings home the main point. A parable generally has only one point, and it comes at the end. And so I think that just as dreams are symbolic, I think they're also parabolic in that we don't want to press the details too hard, though they can be informative and help us. Did you have one other? Sure. What would we ever do without Google? Yeah. What I'd like you to do is take just a minute or two and just kind of go through the process. And if I was to put you on the button right now and say, okay, I want you to kind of help her with the interpretive part of it, though we're never going to say this is what I think your dream means, but just kind of in your own mind, just kind of as an exercise, we've got general life frustration over a sense of purpose and direction. She's already told us that she believes that the restaurant owner represents God the Father, the auto repair guy is Jesus the Son, and that the woman who in her dream was kind of loving on her and all of that is representative of the Holy Spirit. And then and there was this break here, remember as well, that there was a break in the second dream we get Craig Walker, the introduction of Craig Walker. So, there was a new position that has come open in her company for writing, but it was in the editorial section rather than in the legal section where she is currently. And it came available in the sixth month or June. And so she was wondering if that was a connection. Okay. But the existing job that you have in legal is not all that satisfying, is that right? Okay. And the editorial would be more so, but maybe isn't the dream job, if you could say it that way. Okay. But it'd be movement. Which sometimes is good, yeah. You're always on the hot spot. Okay. Ultimately, the interpretation is going to be very important to Tanya. For us gathered, the process is kind of the important piece, at least for this morning, is that we recognize kind of the different ways that these things can be called out. So your judgments or your what you think the meaning is, and then we're going to let Tanya walk us through it, and then by way of application, I just want to add a few things. So take like just a minute, and then we'll jump in and let Tanya do that. The Kairos? Well, yeah, there's observation, there's reflection, there's discussion. So we're on the repent side of the circle, and enter into accountability, and then the plan. It's plan, account, and then act. But we're not ready to act yet to plan because we don't really know yet for sure what this is. We're still discussing what this is. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you, if you could stand and.
I feel like the dinner and not getting served, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that it's my feeling of asking God to guide me and lead me and give me answers, and that I'm not feeling like he's really actually doing that. So I feel like I'm not getting served in that sense. And then when I, find the owner of the restaurant and actually go ask him, he's still not speaking to me. I have heard that cars in dreams represent your career. So I don't know if that's true, but if it is, then I kind of wonder if that's why I went to the auto repair shop, is because the car as my career, I was looking to get answers as to what is going on and, you know, looking for those answers. I don't really know why he would have said, I think you know the answer to that. When I'm, you know, it's like I'm literally looking for God to just lay it on the table in black and white and say, here's what you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, in my heart, I know I should be writing and I know I want to be writing, but I don't know if that's really God's will for me or if that's why he's being so silent is because he feels like I already know because that's my passion. And then when I ended up with the woman, again, it was a very uncomfortable situation. But then after I made the connection that maybe it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then I started feeling like, well, maybe it is an indication that I'm supposed to be looking more to the Holy Spirit for guidance and letting the Holy Spirit into my life more than I have been. And to not be afraid of that, to not be afraid of that relationship there. But it's still, you know, throughout this part of the dream, there was still really no answer to anything. It was just, I guess, maybe a representation of my relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then, you know, when I went into the black area and it was just so clearly said, Tanya, find Craig Walker. It was just, you know, I remember just thinking, you know, who's Craig Walker and why am I supposed to find him? And then when I woke up and, you know, started researching him, you know, wondering, okay, based on all of this, and then he says this, does that mean I'm supposed to seriously be pursuing my writing or is it something completely different in my way off base? So, anyway.
Do you feel like as you've just offered now your interpretation of that dream, is there a sense in your heart that you've discovered it at least to the point of the break? Can I just add something that I think is generally true of it's not about your dream in particular, but it's just about true about just walking with God. In that we're always looking for the roadmap, and God is giving us a compass. And there's that tension, that dissonance between what we would desire to have for the level of specificity in God, where are we going here, and what God is actually going to give us. In other words, you're never going to get the roadmap that you want. We just have to know that. Because if God gave us the roadmap, we'd no longer look to him for direction on the way. Because we'd say, okay, I know where this is going, and it'd be, boom, off we go. So I think God in his wisdom, he says, okay, here's the next step, and here's the general direction that I want you to go. But there is no roadmap. There is no detailed manual. This piece here, I think, is significant in that I think God's inviting you to cultivate a closer and a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, to rely upon him for that guidance and that kind of day-by-day direction and empowerment. And so as uncomfortable as it is now, I think it needs to become comfortable. And because the reality is that you're never going to get this frustration resolved, and that's why this piece is important here. Well, that's why I'm saying that she needs to cultivate the relationship here with the Holy Spirit, who indeed guides us through life. But he doesn't do it with a roadmap. He does it with a compass. If you happen to hear the message I did Memorial Day weekend with Wolfgang Simpson going through the streets of Cairo, it's the Holy Spirit saying, go straight, go left, turn right. That kind of direction is what we generally get as we go through life. I find this piece interesting here. I don't really have a sense about what you're supposed to do with Craig Walker. I mean, you've already done a fair amount by finding out kind of who Craig Walker is, that he's a writer, that he represents probably ultimately where you would like to go vocationally. Again, just from a practical sense, the desire of your heart already is to write. And sometimes in life, God doesn't create the vocational opportunity, but we have avocation as an opportunity. And so it might be that in whatever time and energy you have available to pursue the writing that you know that God's calling you to do. But anybody else want to jump in on the... You're not getting confirmation? On which piece? On this? Okay. What would contacting Craig Walker get you? Okay, all right. Okay. Well, and I'll get to you in just a sec. It seems to me that the job that is being offered or that is available is kind of a separate issue. I mean, it's related because it feels like it's related, but I think technically it's a different issue. And so, I don't know that we can legitimately tie it into this as a part of the. It's more a part of the. Okay, I've got what God told me. It's more now part of the application or the walking out of the direction. And so I think it needs to remain distinct. Yes? Okay, well, we have a little bit of disagreement from this point down, but from this point up, the initial dream seems like we have consensus, but more importantly, there's clarity or a sense of that, aha, this is it. For Tanya, it resonated in her heart as far as the interpretation and all of that. Just to confine my comments to this part of the dream, again, I think that this piece right here is going to be very important, even as it impinges on whatever you decide to do as far as finding Craig Walker. The comment that she says that we're going to do this together is very, very important. And it's that, again, even whatever you do here, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into it, I believe. So we're over time, and so let me pray for us, and then we'll be working on this, be refreshing yourself in the principles of this, and then we'll try and tackle another one next time. And we'll actually have three more cracks at this, and so going to do it next week and then a couple in July. But thank you so much for being willing to share and to allow the rest of us to enter in and learn. So, Father, we thank you for the way that you speak to us through your dreams. We thank you how you've spoken to Tanya about just this general life frustration where she's seeking you to understand your will and purpose for her life going forward. And Father, we do pray for an opening, for a richness, to a blossoming of her relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray together that by your grace, in whatever way you desire to do that, that you would open that up for Tanya. And then as she seeks you for clarity about the second position that's being opened up in the editorial section of her company, as well as what to do with Craig Walker or the Craig Walkers that have been identified through searches on the internet. Lord, we pray that you would grant her wisdom and understanding, help her to discern stepping out in faith, but Lord, just also being mindful of what it is exactly that you're calling her to do. For all these things we pray today in Jesus' name, amen.